rescue the weak, the needy. And remember this, in when God was addressing the people in Isaiah 58, he wasn't talking to just any one specific subgroup of the people of God. He was addressing the entire nation. Verse 4 again, rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Then in verse 5, he really comes down on them again as he describes them as people who know nothing. These folks who he's addressing in this psalm, they know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. And as a result of their walking in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. Making it clear that because these people, as he said in verse 2, defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked, the foundations of the earth are shaken. Remember, God's foundation rests on righteousness and justice all through Scripture. Righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice. And we're seeing anything but righteousness and justice when those who are in positions of authority defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked. Verse 6, he says, I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. We see the word again, gods. And God saying, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. This is critical. In verse 6, he says, I said, you are gods. In verse 7, he says, you will fall like every other ruler. And then God is asked in verse 8 to rise up, O God, and judge the earth. The earth. All across the earth, all around his earth, where rulers are defending the unjust and showing partiality to the wicked. The gods, those God identified as gods, are identified as gods because they are rulers. But not in some type of esoteric, generic sense. They are literally rulers. Let me share with you some notes, because I deliberately brought some notes with me because I want you to know that this is not something that I'm coming up with on my own, just my own reasoning. I've done some research on this, and I want to share with you what some of those who have done the work, the hard work, say about this. We're looking at a commentary on the Holy Scriptures, Psalms, where the author writes, he writes about the assembly of God, the congregation of the mighty. And he points out that this assembly that we read about, or this congregation, this great assembly in verse 1, consists of persons who are designated gods. They are called gods. Now you hear me, I'm telling you again, I concede that the word gods is used in reference to people. He points out, this author points out, they're not referring to angels here. He writes that the usual reading is more suitable as alluding to the warning example of fallen princes recorded in history. And of course, we know that princes are people who have authority. The expression serim suggests directly the idea that it is not kings precisely, nor simply members of the church, but influential persons invested with magisterial, especially judicial authority that are addressed. When they use this word gods, they're not talking about all of the people. who are called people of God. They're specifically referring to people who have judicial authority, like judges who have judicial authority. The authority to hear cases, to hear trials, and pass down decisions based on the merits of the case. These are people, but not just all the people who are members of the church, members of God's body. These are specifically influential persons who have been invested with judicial authority. And in this case, particularly as representing God. And he goes on to explain how this group of people invested with judicial authority could be designated by the name Elohim, which is plural for God. Since now these Elohim, these gods, these people invested with judicial authority in verse 1b are not distinguished in so many words as objects of the divine judgments, but yet they're identical with those who are censured. They're identical with those who God is criticizing sharply because of the poor job they're doing in judging. It is said further that God holds judgment in the midst of them, specifically in the midst of those who have been given divine authority to act as judges in God's behalf. Judicial authority. And what he's letting us know is that very often when human beings were given judicial authority, and specifically by God himself, the people of God, and out of the people of God, a subgroup given judicial authority. Rather than saying you are people who have judicial authority given to you by God, they were sometimes referred to simply as gods. The word gods could easily be replaced by the word judges in this context.